I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm John Batzel with Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution. The professor is a classicist, writing most recently, The Dying Citizen, How Progressive Elites, Tribalism, and Globalization are Destroying the Idea of America. It is obvious that the Roman Empire was the first iteration of globalization. We are several more advanced from that, but it's surprising how the pattern repeats itself. Borders. Victor, let's do some history here. In 1965, the Hart-Celler Act, rethinking immigration into America, migration into America, people who came to America for either to send remittances home or to resettle without going through the ordinary process of applying for U.S. citizenship. You write that it is now regarded one of the most, if not the most, thoughtless of the great society. How so? How did it change things?
It destroyed the whole idea of meritocracy. So it basically said, whether you have a bachelor's degree or a definable skill or some capital or some fluency with English, it doesn't matter anymore. We're going to privilege family relationships and, to be frank, proximity to the border. And it was done in an unholy alliance from the Ted Kennedy wing of the Democratic Party and the corporate wing of the Republican Party. And they basically said, corporations said, we need cheap labor, not just for agriculture, which now is only 20% of illegal labor, but meatpacking, hospitality, restaurants, hotels, etc. And we're willing to open the borders to get cheap labor. And then the left said, we want new constituents because our agenda basically is no longer appealing to 51% of the people. So we brought in, since that act, about 50 million people. And we have now a continual pull. So they go in and out. People become legal residents or then citizens. But we have about 50 million people who are not born in the United States. In California, 27% of the population was not born in the United States. And it's estimated that people here illegally who crossed illegally and reside illegally are somewhere between 25 and 35 million people. And that's a powerful constituency. 5 million illegal entries alone since Inauguration Day 2021.
More history. We go to 1986. Ronald Reagan's in the White House, enjoying his second term. The Simpson-Mazzoli Act. I have this from Victor's book. The idea was that everyone here before 1986 was going to receive amnesty. Again, the unintended consequences. Well, how did it change things again, Victor?
Well, I much admire Alan Simpson, and I admire Ronald Reagan, but I think that was the most disastrous piece of legislation that Republicans ever signed on to, because they essentially said to the opposition, we will give rolling amnesties for people who broke the law who are residing, but in exchange, you will secure the border. And then they said they will secure the border by having what they called I-9 forms, that every employer would be sort of an auditor and make sure that everybody had to have an I-9. And what happened almost immediately, the employers were flooded with fake IDs, fake names, fake Social Security numbers, and they had no mechanism whatsoever. No help from the federal government. They didn't know who was who. And more importantly, there was no one that ended the border enforcement. It used to be something called the Border Patrol. They had light green vans. They drove all around California, Arizona, looking for people who were here illegally. And after that, they pulled back from the border. And so to sum up, the Republicans, they were promised border security, and the Democrats reneged on that, but took the Republican concession that they would no longer enforce the I-9 forms. It was just a travesty.
The border, once no longer there, removes a great piece of what it means to be a citizen of the United States. If being a peasant that is dependent on the government undermines citizenship, so does a border that doesn't exist. We come to 1995, however, Bill Clinton saying that it's abusive to have all these people pouring through. They're illegal. And he makes it clear that he doesn't find this acceptable. Even as late as my note here, Victor, help me, 2013, Barack Obama, who is certainly in the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, says that the border must be secured. What happened? Why? How did it change in the last 10 years?
Numbers, 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 numbers. So what happened was these rolling amnesties gave people who were here illegally the franchise once they became citizens. The voting laws became very lax so that people who even were not citizens, it was very easy. In California, it's automatic mail out ballot. So every time you have any encounter with a state agency and they have your name and Social Security, and you get a Social Security number, you don't have to be legal to do that, then that ballot is mailed to you. So the numbers radically changed, not just Hillary and Bill Clinton, but Nancy Pelosi gave fire and brimstone lectures about the problems with illegal immigrations. And there were a lot of conspirators in that matrix. The Mexican government found that it was the largest, it being remittances, was the largest source of foreign exchange. So today, as we speak, Mexico gets $60 billion a year from some 20 million people here illegally. And most of them have some type of federal or state subsidy that frees up cash so they can send back to the Mexican government. And as I said in the book, Mexico finds that once somebody leaves Mexico, they like Mexico, as long as they don't have to go back to Mexico. They have a romanticized view as an expatriate, and it's a powerful lobbying firm for Mexican interests. And then, of course, there's the labor situation. The Democratic Party, John, has flipped California. They have flipped Nevada. They have flipped New Mexico. I think they flipped Colorado. Yeah. They probably flipped Arizona, and they're working on Georgia and Texas. When I mean flip, they feel they have enough new immigrants that will will be politically loyal to them in exchange for opening the border and generous entitlement.
You have a neighbor. Quickly, we have a minute.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Rojas, you asked him why he's a legal immigrant. Why is he here? Why isn't he in Mexico? What was his answer, Victor?
He said dignity. I thought he would say, I came here for money. He did. For work, he did. For education, he did. But he said, you know, when I was in Oaxaca, people slurred me. I go to the doctor in our town, and they call me Mr. They call me his full name. They treat me as I'm an individual. If he said to me, they treat me as I'm one of the wealthy classes. Everybody here is Mr., he said, Victor. Right. Everybody is called Mr. Everybody gets the same access, and that's not true in Mexico, he said.
Mr. Rojas, the book is The Dying Citizen, How Progressive Elites, Tribalism, and Globalization Are Destroying the Idea of America. Victor Davis Hanson is the author. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Patrick.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.